Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Sitting around our table, we have Ed Leonard, who is the president of Daywind Records, who is also the chairman and president of the Gospel Music Association and the vice chair of the Christian Booksellers Association. He's a father of nine and has no spare time. We have Rick Shelton, director of publishing for Daywind Records, and Donna Beauvais, funny name, but serious about what she does, and she's a producer and director of radio for Daywind Records as well. So obviously, we've gathered some industry minds together to talk about what gospel music is doing today and maybe where the future lies. There are lots of questions, maybe not to the average fan, but for those who like the backstory and the inside story of the way things are changing and moving when you talk about digital music, when you talk about CD sales and marketing. Rick Shelton, director of publishing. I think we've established pretty much with the songwriting aspect. Would it be fair to say you're a talent scout for good songwriters and for good songs?
Yes, you could say that.
talent scout, agent, manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then my next question would be: Is radio or is the record company a talent scout for new artists?
Our job is to find new talent. Mm-hmm. And to bring it to market.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're here to do.
But considering the access of artists to getting their music to radio, even outside of a record company, that does throw you in that role as well, Daniel, because we may never see an artist come through. They come directly to you with their music. And then we love the fact that the work that you do is so quality that you guys really take a lot of time to offer the very best. And again, it comes back to ministry, because the more effective the ministry of a song, the more impact it can have. And so I think that it's both. In my opinion, it's both, because you can break an artist by way of playing a song and having, and actually, who really it is the listener, right? Who goes,
right, exactly.
I love this song. And it could be somebody that we've never heard before, and then it comes around, and then we get the opportunity to work with them someday because the listener reacted and responded to the talent of that artist.
Well, and that's true. So the talent scout aspect of things, the record company can invest in an artist, a radio station can give a platform to an artist, but ultimately the approval or rejection is going to come from the consumer, from the end user, from the listener.
Okay, now let's hear some of that listener approve music now. You're on Daniel Britt and Friends.
See, fallen man, held hostage by sin, doomed to a perilous fate. See, a loving father, pain and mercy in his eyes, giving one son so that others might be saved. God raised the ransom, Jesus paid it on the cross. There the purest of slain for the lost, bloodshed for a sin debt only Jesus could pay. God raised the ransom on crucifixion. Could not believe.
God raise the ransom. You're listening to Daniel Britt and friends around our table, Ed Leonard, Rick Shelton, and Donna Beauvais.
Donna, by the way, we talked to her under her producer hat, and as she changes hats now, we will focus on radio promotion. Let's talk about, and we've had Jim Stover and Rhonda Thompson, who are other radio promoters. Is that the term?
Yes.
Radio promoters.
Yes.
Which basically take a song that for whatever reason, whatever calculated method you guys decide, whether it's just getting together and gut feeling or if it's market research, you say, out of 10 songs on a CD, which one is going to be the highlight that we're going to put out there and say, this one song represents this group for this moment in time and represents this album. Mm. And you have to do that to send an entire album to a radio station and to expect, without any kind of unification, I guess, of all radio, to do something meaningful with that, this would be so unfocused, I guess, is what I'm saying. So you have to make a calculated move to say, we're going to focus on this one song at this one time.
Yes, and it does start, again, like you said, with the very beginning of the song selection, with that in mind. And then when an album is finished, a lot of times songs take on a shape you didn't expect, or right. It ends up differently than you imagine. So we get into a room and we listen. I'll listen. Rick said earlier today we were talking, and he said there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, and Daniel, you know this because I've sent you. Give me your feedback. Here's three songs. Which one do you really feel when you hear it? And you'll write back and let me know what you think. Sure. And that is so valuable to me. But also, we get together in a room. We talk together. Rick has many times shared his thoughts. And all of us really, really, and honestly, pray. I will tell you that this week I have been working very hard on the promotion of songs at radio, and I have prayed for these songs. I've prayed for God to use them in a mighty way. And honestly, it we love number one songs, but the first and number one thing that we love is impact ministry. Yes. And Ed's come back to that. Rick's come back to that so many times in this conversation today, and you have as well, Daniel. If we don't have that, we could have a number one song until the cows come home, but that's the only thing that comes home, and we're trying to get people to come home to Jesus, and we really want these songs to matter. So we kind of gather all that information together, and we go with it. Now, I will say, from a technical standpoint, you know, a 5.5-minute ballad, unless it has a very, there's something really special about
strong
that, it
connection.
Usually won't hold at radio, and it might, they might be literally climbing the walls and throwing babies across the pews in a church.
Right.
So what
right.
applies in a live setting does not always apply
yes.
at radio. And artists will sometimes expect that it will, and sometimes we have to lovingly say, when somebody's driving down the road, that their attention is different than
exactly.
when they're sitting in the audience receiving a song. So there's just a lot to be learned from all of us, but yeah, it comes down to the beauty of a song and the ministry of a song, and we all work together on it.
And we want the songs to stick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we don't want you just to hear it and then not be able to be ministered to the next day from what you heard that the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want songs that stick with you, that continue to minister to you, and so that plays into song selection for radio, especially. Songs that will stick, songs that will live on year after year mm-hmm. in your life.
Yeah.
So I was there once, and as an average listener of music, when you hear terms like the single and the number one song on the chart and stuff like that, this is all a focused effort to basically say you have to have a target, you have to aim for something, you have to have a concentrated pull everybody together, and let's focus on this one song for this moment. And that's kind of what you've been talking about.
Talking to our panel, Ed Leonard, Donna Beauvais, and Rick Shelton around our table. Gospel Music Industry 101. The conversation continues in a moment, but first, Bree Bridges.
I saw the news today. The world seemed to stop. Fear was everywhere, and hope was so lost, yeah. In the circles of darkness, one day I'll reply. See him coming in the sky. I see him coming in the sky.
Watching and praying, waiting on the day. When all those bitter tears.
Coming, see Jesus coming, splitting the
Bridges here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. We're talking Gospel Music Industry 101. Now again, Ed Leonard, Donna Beauvais, and Rick Shelton.
For Ed, who is the chairman of the Christian Booksellers Association, which, correct me if I'm wrong,
vice chairman,
would be an organization that is representing retail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the Gospel Music Association, which represents a myriad of styles from Christian rock to black gospel and traditional and to Southern inspirational. If it's Christian music, it falls under that umbrella. Is that
correct?
Right? You have Christian polka yet?
No, but we're working on that.
So, wearing that hat, where you get to kind of pull back and you see everything that's going on, and you look at the gospel, the message. And Southern Gospel has always said, for us, it is about the message. And you would hope that'd be true for all of Christian music. So let me ask this. The future, and with Rick's input on this from a songwriting point of view, to be honest, I've asked around thinking I was just going to get a pretty standard, the future's great kind of an answer. The question was this: do you see a wealth of new songs or a wealth of young songwriters that are writing really great new songs out there when it's time to go record an album? And I've had groups tell me, no, it's tough. It's tough to find great songs. And to be honest, the gospel is nothing new. I mean, this Jesus stuff has been going around for quite a while. And in the creative process, you've got to find a way to say Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound in a new way.
Right.
Without compromising on truth and doctrine and stuff. So, Ed, how do you answer that as far as what the future is holding for maybe today's world of ADD on steroids, where you've got to capture their attention immediately, but at the same time minister and stay true to the gospel?
I think God is a bottomless well. He is everything. He is all things. And you cannot put a limit on finding ways to praise him. He will continue to energize writers and singers and give them new ways to be creative in their praise to him. And, for 2,000 years, we have been singing praise to Jesus, and for much longer, singing praise to Yahweh. And creativity has continued to be boundless. So, it's difficult, but I think the key is giving creative people the ability to benefit from spending time in that area. We all probably have a song in our heart. Now, whether that's going to come out as a well-written, well-crafted melodic song, is really up to others to decide, I guess. But I think that for people to be creative on a consistent basis, you've got to give them some patronage. Mm-hmm. So the things that I've talked about up till now, with the issues surrounding the music industry. I think that's going to play more of a part in making it harder to find great songs than it is that there's a lack of creativity. It's just that the creative people are being forced to go do other things. But I see a ton. I mean, you just when you think there's no other way to say that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Somebody writes this next hit song. I mean, and it just touches your heart. And it makes you cry, and it makes you feel closer to Christ, and or makes you even change your life or keep from taking your life. I mean, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
The message. You'll hear that often in gospel music. It's what it's about. And like this from the Greens, Hold On, a message that maybe you need right now. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Thank you. Greens and Hold On here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Now more about gospel music and specifically the message in the lyrics.
So let's talk about those good songs. From the songwriting aspect, these are the catchphrases today. Authenticity, relevant. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be real. You've got to have a connection. Okay, these are all the catchphrases that are going around. And somebody finally says, okay, what does that mean, authentic? I mean, what does that mean to be real? Do you take, Rick, when you're coaching the songwriters or you're putting them together for sessions, do they ever say, well, let's look at what the current events are? I mean, even if you get down to specifics, let's talk about a bad economy. Let's talk about unrest in Egypt. How can we take this kind of current today kind of stuff that's on the front page of the paper and put that somehow in a song to provide hope? Do you ever get that specific?
At times. I can tell you over the past 3 years, I've had more songs written about you may be broke, but God's going to be there for you, you know.
Yeah.
More songs have come in over the past 3 years of that nature than in maybe the previous years. But there's a universal, although each song is unique and you want to say it in a different way that grabs someone's attention and maybe sparks something in the heart that they hadn't felt before. But there's still, the problems have been happening and trials have been happening in people's lives since Christ. Hmm. And God has been faithful through all that. So there's still a universal themes that go along, that the very current situation, the universal theme of God's faithfulness can be applied to it today. And so I see that happening as well. It may not specifically mention Egypt or the
sure.
You know, that's currently what we're dealing with today. But God, the theme of God being in control is still relevant, whether we're talking about Egypt or economy.
I would imagine the songwriters sometimes write out of their own stuff, and the artists sing sometimes out of their own stuff. And
Absolutely. That's
where the vulnerability probably steps into place. And we were talking about this in the car earlier. Sin is universal. Yet, when you look at a Christian singer, they better not confess their sins if they want to keep their job. Not that you want a scandal, and not that you want just to air dirty laundry just for that sake, but I think there's something that is connection point, that it is a relatability, I guess, there when you hear that, hey, these singers who have the hair and makeup and wardrobe and have the bright lights and the microphone and the backup singers, they're in this same life that I'm in, and they're dealing with their same struggles.
Exactly.
And there is a God that meets their needs just like he can meet my needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Very often writers will write from personal experience, whether it be the joy in being on the mountaintop or being in the valley. Very often those different times, those various times, are the well from which they draw to write a song that can relate also to others who might be in the same experience, may be experiencing joy on the mountaintop, but may also be in the valley. It often comes from their own experience. And I'll say this about our artists and about our writers. First and foremost, we have people who are authentic, who do believe, and this is more than a job to them. This is more than just a gift to them. This is something that God planted in them, and it's the expression of God in their lives. And so we don't take that for granted, but that is in place before any song mm-hmm. would be generated.
Sure.
Their own genuine experience with God and what God's doing in their life. And then they'll write that in a new way, in a fresh way that will touch others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
God has a wonderful way of weeding out the non-authentic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah, he really does.
He does.
Your proclivity to wear masks is in direct proportion to God's proclivity to rip them off.
Oh, wow. Love it.
I love that.
I love it.
Is that a Daniel?
Great.
Steve Brown said it, but after about three times of me saying it, I think I can say as I always say.
Yeah, as I always say.
Own it. But,
yeah.
One day I'm going to sail away. I can hardly wait till then. Longing for a city where rejoicing never ends. Well, maybe I'm impatient, but I want it all right now. I'll start the celebration, all that heaven will allow. While I wait, I'll keep on trying to imagine like I'm already home. When he calls, you'll see me flying to a land beyond the river where I'll spend a sweet forever. I'll start to celebrate while I wait.
Some people think his coming is just our moment to fly. It's a revelation, I can feel it inside. I'll start the praises flowing on my last mile below. It's my special way of showing him.
My brother. and I'll be
sowing a good seed by doing a good deed that'll come back,
come back,
come back to me.
Here on Daniel Britt and Friends, before that Lord's song, While I Wait. We're talking to Ed Leonard, Rick Shelton, and Donna Beauvais around our table. Gospel Music 101.
We pray that God would raise up new songs, new songwriters that are saying that.
Can
are
I come
saying
into that?
Yes, exactly.
Well, you mentioned that a while ago. I see that God is doing that.
Yeah.
The same God and the same well of creativity that was there for Fanny Crosby. Is the same God who called Diane Wilkinson, and that same well is there, or Kyla Rowland.
Yeah,
but it's also
yeah.
for Kenna West and Marty Funderburk, who's
yeah.
the next generation.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we've got songwriters like Joseph Habedank and Scott Inman and Ben Story who are coming along, who, mm-hmm. who are the next generation. And they each bring something from their generation into the music, a freshness to the music, or a fresh way of saying things. But it's the same well of creativity. They plug into the same source, the same God who prompted Martin Luther to write Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Mm.
You know, so he has never changed, and he's calling people still today the same way he has throughout the church age.
Mm-hmm.
But I see them coming up. Wonderful songwriters.
Final thoughts from Ed Leonard on this. And by the way, we're going to purchase music legally. We're going
yeah.
to
that's awesome.
We're going to pray for the artist. We're going to support the music because we need it and do everything we can to help you guys, because this is it's a team effort from everybody involved in the industry all the way down to the listeners and the fans. But closing thoughts: what keeps you awake at night? You get your fingers in a lot of pie. So with all that you see going on, what worries you most about the future? And then we'll close on a positive note. But let's talk about that first.
Well, first of all, I don't like to appear to be whining, because a lot of times, you know, you read in the papers or whatever that the labels are suffering and they're just whining. You know, they just, they want somebody to fix their problems and they've got enough money and all this kind of stuff. And it's, you're not whining so much as you're raising your hand and saying, the future is ours to shape. And if there is not a good economic model to make this work, it's going to be very hard, a very hard future musically. Mm-hmm. So help us by doing the right thing is basically all that labels are asking, and really artists themselves. Labels are only doing it on behalf of the artists and the songwriters and all the people in the ecosystem to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we see major record labels that are one-third of the size as they were 5 years ago. Well, that's two-thirds of the people that lost their jobs, you know, who were called to do this, who have now been called to do something else, I guess, by sheer economic reality.
Right.
But that's why we raise our hand. But the future is very bright for songs in praise of Christ. And like Rick mentioned, there are tremendous talents, both writing-wise and performing-wise, that... will continue to make themselves known, and radio will play such a big part in bringing those great songs and great talents to the listeners and to their hearts and helping them live their lives. You know, the organizations that I work with, like the CBA and the Gospel Music Association, you know, their sole existence is to help to help spread the gospel through Jesus Christ. In CBA's case, it's through retail. In GMA's case, it's through music or related entertainment entities. And those organizations still have people that are working on their behalf to make that happen. You know, we're going, getting ready to go to Atlanta and do the Dove Awards for the first time out of the state of Tennessee and, you know, in its history. And that's going to be a great event, and it's going to be televised, and people are going to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of its forms musically, which is really unique. You may not like particular form of music, but the songs, no matter what style they're delivered in, you've got to look to the heart of the songs, and you don't judge them, but you look to the heart of the songs to see how they're going to reach people. There's a song probably nobody's ever heard of by a guy named Marvin Sapp, who's one of the best gospel artists out there. It's called Never Would Have Made It. You know, I got a chance to see him perform at the Stellar Awards, this song, 4 months after losing his wife to illness.
Oh, gosh.
And to have a man stand up there and sing, I never would have made it without you.
Yeah.
There is nothing more powerful.
Yeah.
Sermons can get there. But there's something about music, about those words set to music, that strip through everything and just grab your soul and shake it up. And there's countless, I mean, Brian Freeze, Never Walk Alone.
I was thinking about that one.
Is that equivalent that, you know, one on the Southern Gospel side?
New one from Perry's Celebrate Me Home has to be, I mean, just the title in and of itself, if you didn't even hear the song, isn't that a great way to think about going to heaven?
Amazing songs, powerful messages. Here's one from the Wisnets, Nail It to the Cross, on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that he will not forgive. Bring it to the cross, let it die so you can live.
Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy flood. To the cross.
Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound, struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand.
Listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends, the Wisnets. Now our conversation again picks up. Ed Leonard, Rick Shelton, and here's Donna Beauvais.
I did want to say, you asked Daniel about what would keep Ed Leonard up at night, and he gave a beautiful answer, because his heart is, that's what his heart is positive. I think what keeps Ed Leonard up at night, and Ed, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure I don't know positively, but I think what would keep him up at night is thinking about everything that he's doing and trying to decide how he can do it better. Because yeah. if you knew Ed Leonard, you would know that he cares more than most anyone I've ever met. And so I don't think he lays in bed at night and worries about what everybody else is doing wrong. I think he lays in bed at night and thinks about what he can do better to make more of an impact, or help everyone make more of an impact with music. So I just wanted to tear that mask off. I don't know, Ed, tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, there are two ways to go about it. And Rick, yeah. you mentioned it earlier in the interview that you feel like you're a song plugger for all of Southern gospel music. And what, you know, you can either go about it that way, or you can go about it is in the way that, how am I going to get over on the next guy? How am mm-hmm. I going to get my song cut before the other guy gets his song cut? Right. Better my song than their song. That's one way to go about it, okay? Mm-hmm. The other way is the way you do it.
Yeah.
And that is to look at the thing as the big picture, from the 30,000 foot perspective, you know, down on what's going to be the best for everybody. Where mm-hmm. is the song going to reach the most people in your situation? And I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to bring people together. I've always tried to be part of something bigger than either myself or than Daywind, and do things for the benefit of Southern gospel music or gospel music or Christian retail or whatever I've gotten involved in. It's about the whole and not about the self-interest of me or our companies. Mm-hmm. Now, right. I mean, I think God has blessed
that's
that.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
You know, in the time that I've been involved and in the time, my mom has been involved 30 years. So yeah. He has certainly blessed her because she operates that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And true of all of us and everything that we do, true music and ministry multiplies. It does not divide.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's a good point.
You can accomplish so much more together than you can apart. And that's how God would want it to be. I mean,
absolutely.
He wants us working together, not against each other. And
why can't all God's children get along?
Hey,
amen. Woohoo, Karen Peck and New River.
Not to plug a Daywind song.
never do that.
No, not at all.
No, we wouldn't.
You?
And hopefully our discussion over the past 3 weeks have proved very helpful as we talk about all pieces of the large puzzle that makes a beautiful picture, gospel music, and why we love it so and how it comes to be. Hey, here's Mitchell John. Wait on that mountain to move.
You prayed, but your mountain's still there. You can't help but wonder, does God even care? Then you remember all He's done for you. Faith stands between the prayer and the answer. If we just hold on, He'll put it all together. Wait on that mountain, wait on that mountain.
Well, so to end this thing on an upper, the state of the music union is optimistic.
I see a lot more people working together than I have in 18 years. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we had we've had some struggles at the GMA where we've had to cut back our staff and that kind of stuff. It really mirrors, I would say, the music business. You know, these organizations get supported by the people that are in the business.
Sure.
So if the business shrinks, then the organizations shrink. And so we've had some struggles, but what I've seen is countless people jumping in to make things happen and to try and grow the music and celebrate it and expose it. And that has been more heartwarming than I could ever tell you. The times of the hardest struggle, and this is for all of your listeners in their lives, the time of your hardest struggle is when you see God's blessings so much more clearly.
Yes.
You know, and... that's been my last 2 years, really, as chairman of the GMA, along with trying to, you know, work at Daywind and lead a great team of talented people and artists and songwriters, is that when people get together and go through tough times, God blesses in ways that you never would have thought, and He moves mountains.
Yes.
Yes.
Music to remind you how good the good news really is. Here's Mark Lowry on Daniel Britt and Friends.
When I think of all He left and what He came to, I'm convinced that it's the greatest mystery. Just to think that heaven's King would leave it all and come for one like me. If I started writing now and wrote forever, I know that all my words would not convey the depth of love so great that brings the perfect lamb to take my place.
Isn't it amazing that a king would go that far? And doesn't it amaze?
Inside the Music, it really has been a great eye-opener, I think, and a primer to how the industry works. And industry is not a bad word. I think that's something that we have found out, that industry and ministry can exist together and cooperate. And so Daywind Records has been a great example of this. As we've mentioned, this is obviously not the only entity like this in gospel music, but it is one of the hard-hitting players in our field. So Rick Shelton, Donna Beauvais, and Ed Leonard, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.